Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Still hit the break. Still hit it,
Sam. Still hit it.
Still hit it. Had to catch up, though. I had to catch up to it to speed up a little bit.
You did.
Oh, thanks for joining the show, everybody. We hope you're having a great day out there. Happy afternoon to you. It is time for you to call up and join the conversation. That's what's going on. We want to hear from you. Call up and join us. It is our live call-in show. That's how this works.
Mm-hmm.
Call in. Join us with your sports thoughts and feelings. Mm-hmm. We want to hear from you. We want to send a special shout-out to our friends at Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Rapids. Mm-hmm. Seth Habhagger pitch hitting for us today. Thanks so much for being in with us, Seth.
Not a problem.
Going to get your takes and your feelings on things as well, but we most importantly want to hear from our audience. Call up and join the conversation. Want to hear from you. We'll talk whatever you guys want to talk about. Matt LaFleur had his season-ending press conference. Got some takeaways from that we want to get to. I also, at some point today, want to get to a couple of other notes. Craig Counsell blames Garth Brooks for his batting stance. I want to touch on that. I want to talk Rafters and River Kings with you.
All right.
We will talk a little bit about that. We'll get into some of our local coverage as well. Not only what we got for you, but some scores from over the weekend from our high school basketball teams and all that.
Good stuff.
But I want to start in a unique place, but not so unique for Playmakers. And longtime listeners of the show of Playmakers, many of you out there have been listening for a while, and we appreciate you so much for doing that.
We do.
Randy and I, about 3 or 4 years ago, about 4 years ago, I think, when Playmakers first started, it was one of our first episodes. It was actually when we were Coffee and Sports.
Coffee and Sports, yes.
We were previewing our division, and we are going through teams.
Mm-hmm.
And we did Minnesota, Chicago, Green Bay, and we wrapped up with Green Bay. But right before Green Bay, we did Detroit. And I don't know what it was, but Randy and I got really excited about Detroit Lions. They had just signed this coach, Dan Campbell, and it was an exciting time. It was interesting. Now, this guy was talking about biting kneecaps, and I don't know how many people took him seriously. But for some reason, Randy and I both liked Dan Campbell and liked the makeup of the team and what was beginning there. And here we are now, where the Detroit Lions, and I can't believe I'm saying this, are one game away from possibly being in the Super Bowl.
Their first ever.
Yep. And I would like to ask the audience to join Randy and I on this bandwagon of the Detroit Lions.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I was waiting to see what would happen with Green Bay. Now that we see Green Bay season is done, and our division does not have anybody else in it representing
That's it right
it.
Now, yep.
I go back to what my papa used to do when I saw him rooting for the Packers in the Super Bowl. And I know that he bleeds navy blue and orange.
Right.
And he was like, we root for our division in this family.
Okay.
That's what we do. So I'm asking everybody to just jump on the bandwagon. It a little
sure.
bit. Have some fun with it. It may only last a week.
That's true.
You know, don't get comfortable. We don't know what's going to happen, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see what's going on with our audience. Good afternoon. What's on your mind?
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey. What do you want to talk today?
I'm going to try to talk you into making this show longer than an hour.
Yeah. God, yes.
You could try.
I mean, there's such a checklist going on, you know. Yeah, we have the playoffs for football, but there's so much other stuff going on.
Yeah.
And we're not going to get a chance to talk about because you only do it for an hour. Come on, James. You got to start pulling some strings.
I'm going to see what I can do. I've got Olympic things that I've been wanting to get to for like 3 weeks. I hear you.
Oh, man. Too much sports. That's all there is.
I have to agree with you. With you on the Detroit Lions. It's one of those teams that you saw what they were doing. And building that team, bringing this coach in. I mean, he's a good coach. I wish Green Bay would have him, especially as a defensive coordinator. I mean, they're going to do well. I mean, I hope they play well and make it look good. You know, back at the beginning of the season, who would ever thought that two teams from the NFC. From the NFC North, would even had a chance to be in the Super Bowl.
Right. It's pretty cool.
You know, we were kind of listed as the bottom feeders of the NFC, which again, to me, the East was the bottom feeders. I mean, that was just...
As we have seen, it really bore out,
But, you know, let's think back to at the beginning of the season with the Packers. You know, I'm going to kind of go that way with it, you know, kind of take it away, from, you know, the limelight a little bit away from Detroit right now.
Yeah.
But we were actually looking at the Packers as, okay, Rodgers was gone. Oh, my goodness, here we go. We're going to go back to the 70s and early 80s.
Rebuilding. Mm,
yep.
Yeah. You know, we were going to be back to this again. Or now we're going to know what the Bear fans feel like. You know?
Yeah,
we're going back that way, you know, and have to try to think back of 2010 and 1997, you know, had to relive those years of being in the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Kind of like the Bears with 85, you know, to keep reliving that 85 Bears team.
Somebody say 85 Bears? Did somebody say...
Such a cliche.
Sorry. It's triggering. You know, all of a sudden after that Pittsburgh game, it's like, what happened?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like something like a light bulb finally clicked in that Jordan Love's head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, you listen to the talking heads throughout the day, and you know, he's like, where did this come from at the end of the game? What made him decide that, oh, I'm going to throw the ball to the middle of the field with two timeouts left and almost a minute to be able to drive down the field, and you're in first down. Mm-hmm. And there was no need to force it like he did. And that was kind of some of the stuff that he was, you know, it's like it almost reverted back to the beginning of the year. Everybody was so surprised that he made a throw like that. But, I mean, you feel bad for the team. You're disappointed. But let me tell you, we never expected them to be this point.
Yeah. Oh, no, yeah, not at all. Yeah.
I don't know if a lot of people, if this was reported or not, but if you noticed when Jordan Love went to the sidelines after that interception and was on the phone, he was on the phone with a joint call with Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers saying, I learned it from watching you. I learned it from watching you. It's your fault.
Because
immediately on social media, there was pictures of Brett Favre in his last pass as a Minnesota Viking throwing the same exact mm-hmm. type of interception across body, across field.
Mm-hmm.
I was just talking to Seth in our pregame. We saw Josh Allen for, I believe it's 10 to 11 quarters, playing Alex Smith football. 10-yard passes, 5-yard passes, doing everything right. They could to try to take the knucklehead out of him, if you will. And in the last couple of drives of that Buffalo game yesterday, what happened? He went back to being him. And not that he had any interceptions, but he kept trying to be Superman. And he thought that they could just – nobody, I don't know, outside of Kansas City, who had Buffalo losing that game. I know I didn't. Even with Kansas City ahead, I didn't think that Kansas City was ever going to win that game. Josh Allen lost that game in many ways, and not only him, but of course Stephon Diggs with the drop and a couple of other moves. And you can come to the kicker with me,
right? Yeah,
and that's something I want to get to with Green Bay too before this hour is up, because there is a lot of people blaming the kicker, and they should be. But at the same time, why do we have coaches? Why do we have GMs? What is their job? Their job is to evaluate talent, to build their players up, to figure out who is healthy, who is best equipped to play on Sunday. Mentally and physically, who is ready to play and making this move. Now, is it about that, or is it about, hey, we wasted a 6th-round pick on him, and I've got to make sure, or a 3rd-round pick, or whatever it is, and I've got to make darn sure that I look good, that I make sure that it was worth drafting him, and I don't look bad for this.
Mm.
Is what's going on there with that? Why this kid stayed in that position all season, and why you've got a head coach, joking or not, telling the media, yeah, I'm praying every time he's going out there. How the kid's going to read that? How does that build his confidence? Whether it was said in jest or not, and if it was said in jest or not, you as a head coach, as a grown man, has to know better.
Yeah, a poor taste, yeah.
I'm curious about that. What that decision making in there? It doesn't come down to just him. There's plenty of plays that you can point to and count out. Mm-hmm. Whether it's Jordan Love here or it's this the play calling. I don't know what happened with the play calling in the last four. In the fourth quarter for the Packers, why? What happened to Aaron Jones? Did he leave the game? Did he go home? What happened?
Well, there was reports that he said something to somebody or something happened after that one long run that he might have tweaked his hamstring again.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But then you got LaFleur like, well, that's news to me. But go back to Carlson is that okay? That 4th-and-1, and he decided to go for it. If he's kicking the ball good.
Yeah.
When did you take the points?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It did come, you know, you hate to say it. I mean, I, you know, okay, I might get crucified for this. I mean, that I didn't really have the Packers pick to win this game.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah,
I actually said, My score I picked was 30 for San Francisco and 28 for Green Bay, but Green Bay would have had a chance to win it at the end of the game, but Carlson would have missed the field goal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he missed the field goal to make it a 7-point game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, so, I mean, if in all reality, I mean, it did come down to him missing the field goal and the Packers lost the game. Mm-hmm. I really do hope they bring competition in. Yeah, they wasted a 6th-round draft pick on him, but competition makes you look better, but, you know,
everybody
wants to revert back to Crosby on this, back when he had that stumble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
But he also had a name for himself, too. So.
True, right. Yes. He has something to build off of. I think that they're already talking about bringing in competition for the kicker, and there's no way that that's not going to happen. I do think also, though, there's a lot of talk about that going on when there's not – I don't see a whole lot of being said so far, and there's only been a couple of hours since his presser, but Coach LaFleur has said that there is nothing's been decided regarding any potential changes to the coaching staff. I'm going through everything right now, quote, I want to certainly sit down with every assistant before any decisions are made. He's not putting a timeline on this process. There is coaching changes going on throughout the whole NFL, mm-hmm. and even teams that are good and are making coaching changes.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, as a fan, whether it's you, man, or any of our listeners out there, are you confident if you go into next season with this same exact coaching staff, how do you feel? Are you confident with that? I'm curious to know how people feel.
Well, I would, you know, if they would stay, you know, it would have to be a couple games, you know, into the season that before I would say anything, but if they would stay to where they were here at the end of doing, you know, blitzing and the defense that we had, I would feel confident. But I think I did listen to the presser a little bit, that it to me, it's almost like he is going to look somewhere else. I mean, you got guys out there Rivera said that if he's not going to be a head coach, he wants to be a defensive coordinator.
Just interviewed with Philadelphia.
That's right.
Saw that. Yeah, and you got Vrabel. You still got Vrabel out mm-hmm. there. He's there. You know, there's talk again of possibly Jim Leonard. There's also a guy, I think he's on the 49ers staff, Holland.
Yeah.
Holland's a possibility. A the linebacker coach for San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't sit on your hands on this. They have to make the change. They can't wait till the Super Bowl, or I think they need to make a decision now if they're going to have, you know, going to bring him back. I mean, it's you hate to sit, as a coach, because of, you know, everything that went on. You just lost the game. You kind of want to, but
yeah,
I think
going back
been enough cry. There's been enough cry for the. I think they need to make a change, and Goody has got to say something too. I would think, because he's how much stock has he put into this defense?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think going back to where this all started, this conversation of playing, you know, the phrase we've heard a billion times in the last week or so, playing with house money, that comes back to the Packers having a better season than most of us expected.
Mm-hmm.
And now you go into 2024 with not we're coming out of our first year of rebuilding after the Aaron Rodgers era and all this and stuff. No, now you're coming into year two, expectations.
Yes.
Now all of a sudden you're coming in, and no matter what happens with the Detroit Lions, I would think that we all agree the Detroit Lions are the class of the division right now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, how many times we thought we'd hear that in our lifetimes? But it's the truth. It's the fact, and it's the truth. And then it's everybody else, you know, crabs in a barrel trying to get to number two. We have no idea what is going to go on with Chicago. I'm very curious to see what's happening with Minnesota and how that's going to develop.
They need a quarterback, yep.
And then there's Green Bay, which just, again, did what, as our caller said here, and many of us have thought, who saw two teams from the NFC North being in the final six or whatever?
In the division round, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty darn good. But that brings with it expectations.
It does.
So to your point, the fire is hot. You got to strike while it is, while that's burning.
Mm-hmm.
And going into this offseason, you're not just going into it, okay, we're in year two of a rebuilding year. Now we're in year two of hope. Now we're in year two of possibilities, of expectations,
mm-hmm.
and that wonderful, you know, feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the next question I have for you, James and Seth, mm-hmm. and being that, you know, they do have a little bit of money to spend,
mm-hmm.
come May, what are you doing?
You got to solidify that receiving core. You got to get a veteran in there. Mm-hmm. You have to get a veteran receiver. You need somebody,
right, but
some
what are you
voice.
Gonna do with Love?
Oh, yeah. Oh, you have
are you
to
pay him that 50. Are you going to pay him that $50 million? Or are you going to try to?
I'm surprised they haven't done it already.
Yeah, I think you gotta.
They've got to. They yeah. have to. I don't know if he's worth it. I don't know if he's if it's going to work out. I have no idea of any of those things. But I think that you have to in the regard of what he's shown you, what he's given you.
Well, this last half of the season, yeah, for
yeah.
Sure.
Everybody in the world is looking for what Green Bay has had 3 times in a row here. he's homegrown talent. He's under you. It's cheaper to pay him than it is a free agent, even under the same deals in the same in different situations. So you almost have to pay him after what he's done in a almost contract year in some ways for him.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
But would you tag him this year though?
Tag
him and pay him maybe that 25 to 30. And see if he has another year. But then you might be looking at, you might have to go up to that. Because, you know, you don't really want to strap yourself again like you did with Rodgers. You don't want to have a guy that's going to have 20% of your salary, because then you won't be able to go out and put anybody really around him.
Right.
So, you know, that's they got to look at that again. And,
yeah. They don't have any albatross contracts. They don't have anything really that's hanging over them that's really going to really hold them back. If I'm them, I don't mess around with the bad PR and the head games and all this of franchise tags and everything. You know you got the kid. You know you believe in him. You know you built him up. You drafted him. All these things. Again, going back to Gutekunst wanting to look good and that mattering to him, and I think he's proven to us that does.
Yeah.
If anything, the kicker being still out there is proof of him and LaFleur and how they feel about those things. So yeah, then not only do I think they should pay him, they're gonna. There's few things in the world that will shock me more than him not getting that deal. Whether I think it's a great question about the tag. That's something I had not thought much about, and I think that's a really good question. But I don't think it's worth the bad blood that it creates. I mean, they barely got through that with Lamar Jackson. They barely made it out the other end of that.
If you remember the end of last year, it was really touch and go for a while there.
We were talking about him possibly being on the Jets.
Yeah.
We were hearing GMs talk about how they don't want Lamar Jackson.
Because they're insane? I don't know.
Atlanta was happy with sticking with Desmond Ridder over you know, kicking the tires on Lamar Jackson trade and everything. So, yeah, a lot changes, and a lot has changed for Jordan Love.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Good to talk to you, sir. Thanks for the time, as always. You have a great week, and we'll talk again next week is
baseball.
Next week is baseball. Yeah, sounds good. Sounds
good in baseball. Yeah, all right.
Appreciate the call. Let's keep them coming. 424-2600, 424-2600. Want to hear from everybody out there. And since he did tee me up, we are going to talk a little baseball real quick.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
I do want to talk rafters and hot stove event from the weekend, and got an interesting programming note for everybody. But before we get to that, we have to kind of, you know how we do things around here. We have to lead it into something. I can't just jump right into it.
We need segues, man.
For those that didn't hear about this on the Sunrise Show, which you can hear every Monday through Friday, 7 to 8 on Wiz Country 105.5 WIRI, shameless plug. Craig Counsell, of course, the manager of the Chicago Cubs. Boo, boo, boo. But back in the playing days, he had a really funky batting stance.
Yes. And several, as a matter of fact. He changed it over the years, too.
That's very true.
Yep.
I forgot about that. In an interview, he said he blames that stance on Garth Brooks. Craig's career was standing out, was starting out in the late 90s when Garth was spending time at spring training with the San Diego Padres.
Okay.
Craig said he was with the LA Dodgers and was struggling in spring training. He finally got a hit, or thought he did, but Garth was playing left field and he made a diving catch to rob him of the hit. Craig was released the next day.
That's cold. Yeah. That is cold.
So from that point onward, he changed to his unconventional stance, but he kept most of his career and ended up, you know, getting on with the Brewers and everything. And
won a World Series with the Diamondbacks in 2001. Yeah.
So everything worked out pretty well for Craig Counsell and stuff. But it's funny. Like, he's actually, like, had an interaction with Garth Brooks about this where he's like, yeah, and I blame you for my weird batting stance. And stuff. That's pretty good.
That's not bad. I would take that. I would definitely take that.
Oh, that's a feather in the cap of
Garth it is. Brooks. Yeah.
I like CMA award winner, this and this, you know, Grammys and all this. And then in my resume also, made Craig Counsell change his batting stance. I would absolutely have that in there. Yeah.
Definitely. Oh, man.
But we do want to talk a little Rafters, and congratulations to them on another successful Hot Stove event.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. A lot of people had a great time at it, heard really good things and really good feedback from everybody about it. But I want to hear from the gang, and I want to hear from our friends over at the Rafters. So Tyler is going to join us next Monday.
All right.
Right to kick off the show. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to Tyler and our Wisconsin Rabbits Rafters.
Okay.
Talk a little bit about Hot Stove. Talk a bit about the season ahead and mm-hmm. some of the things that we're looking forward to and some of the expectations, to be honest.
Yes, I'm with you.
The last couple of seasons, the Rafters baseball, we've had winning teams.
Yes.
And I think with that comes a just like we were talking about the Packers,
some expectations. Yeah.
I want to talk about that.
Keep the talent coming. Yeah.
See how feeling about that one. So we'll talk all that. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll have our fourth period. Coach and GM of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul, going to join us. Looking forward to that. He'll be with us in about 5 or 10 minutes.
All right.
It's going to be a fun conversation.
Very good.
When he joins us, I'm curious if this will come up or not, because I know he's a football guy and he watches mm-hmm. other sports. Did you see this, Seth? Some of the NFL games over the past couple of weeks have been kind of painful to watch. Buffalo and some of the locations. Uh-huh. That Kansas City game was pretty mm-hmm. bad.
Very cold, yes.
They've even had to move games, which I don't remember that happening much, if at all, when we were kids.
I'm trying to remember them doing that. I don't. I can't.
Several of the games were played in freezing temperatures, particularly in Kansas City and Buffalo, and some of those fans looked miserable. In fact, there were some that were actually treated for hypothermia. There was a lot of that going
on.
Well,
if Jason Kelsey doesn't put a shirt on, what does he expect? No, I'm just kidding. Right. It wasn't him.
He's a bad influence, Jason Kelsey. Though. A new poll asked people what's the coldest temperature they'd be willing to attend an outdoor pro sports event in. And 38% of men said that they'd be fine with freezing temperatures, including 3% who are okay with below zero.
Forget it. Forget you. No way. No way.
22% of women would also be fine in freezing temperatures, including 2% who claim they'd be okay with below zero temperatures.
They're smarter. Only 2%. Yeah. Ladies are smarter.
On the flip side, 13% of men and 20% of women say that they wouldn't watch a sporting event outside unless it was at least 50 degrees out.
I'm leaning towards them.
Yeah.
Right. I'm totally leaning towards them. I'm guessing that's one of the main reasons baseball is my favorite sport. It's played in the summertime. That's why.
I was curious how you feel about this, being mm-hmm. a Minnesotan.
Yes.
And I imagine that you've watched plenty of outdoor sporting events in you know, pretty bad weather.
Yeah. Yeah. All the local stuff, you know, all the football games would be played. I mean, yeah, they're early in the year, but up in Minnesota, you could get snow in October. Yeah. So, yeah.
I'm not trying to be a weatherist here or anything like that, but is even your volleyball played in snow? Like, is even
yes, our beach volleyball is played in snow. We're the only state that has snow volleyball, right?
That's got to be rough for the volleyball team.
That's that's horrible to contemplate.
It depends on the game. It honestly depends on the game. I think that there is something about like not only watching sports, mm-hmm. but something as sports fans. I remember when the Blackhawks had the Winter Classic.
Mm.
And they're playing outdoors hockey. And my dad is sitting there watching the game. He's like, what's the big deal? We played all the time outdoors.
It's true.
We played on rivers. We played
any place there was like a patch of ice. It didn't matter where. Yeah, people were putting their skates on.
I'm curious to know like what it takes to, because to me, if it's my team and they have if it's a big game, if it's a playoff game, if they have a chance to go to a Super Bowl, these kind of things, mm-hmm. Whatever it is, yes, yes, and yes, like 1,000 times. Especially when I think about like I've got one of those warm jackets, like one of those ones that you know heats up and everything.
Yeah.
I feel like I cheat, like I'm cheating Mother Nature or something.
You know, I there's a big reason I wouldn't do it, and I have my the biggest reason I think is that football is so much better on television.
Yeah,
it's not so great when you're in a huge stadium live. Yeah. You can't see anything, And it's so much. I mean, if there was a sport made for television, it was football.
Yeah.
And so I have no interest in going to a super cold game so I can like barely see what's happening on the field. No, thanks. No.
We want to hear from you. 715-424-2600. Feel free to join up and call the conversation. Join up and join the conversation. We'd love to hear from you. We are going to be starting our fourth period. When we come back, GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, going to join us coming up on Playmakers here at WFHR. Welcome, everyone, to WFHR's Playmakers. Proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. You have your host, James J., and it is time to start the fourth period, everybody. We have got our GM and head coach of your Wisconsin Rapids River Kings, Coach Paul Peckman, in with us right now. Coach Paul, good to see you.
Good to see you, man.
Appreciate you bringing in a friend. You want to introduce our friend over here?
We have with us Jude Ewing from all the way from London, England.
Hey Jude, good to have you with us. Thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Appreciate the time, man. And I've got a couple questions for you I want to get to before we start to talk the game and everything. Right out the gate, I think some of the most interesting people I've met my whole life, literally, being a kid growing up in a hockey family and everything, were goalies. You guys are built different, man. You're built different. I've never met a uninteresting goalie. I don't think it exists. Tell me first out the gate, what it is that got you to want to play hockey?
It's a weird story. I was on holiday with my family. Me and my sister were going at it, you know, as siblings do. And my mom got a bit sick of it and arguing over which movie to watch. She just threw one in the DVD player, and it was The Mighty Ducks. So as soon as I saw it, I was hooked. I think I watched it six times that holiday, and from right then I was obsessed.
You from where, you know, across the pond, where you're from, how popular is hockey over there? How easy was it for you to jump into the sport?
It wasn't so easy, really. It was it's definitely grown since I started playing, but there was only one club around that I could go to, and it was 30 minutes away, and it was more of a grassroots club.
Yeah,
and, you know, I owe a lot to that club. Like, first 5 years of my playing career I spent there, and it was, you know, some of the best times of my life being a kid playing hockey. There's no stress, but it's difficult because you've got to, if you want to compete and you want to be competitive and go somewhere with hockey, you got to travel around the country. Yeah. So it was a lot of late nights and you know, early mornings getting to practices and stuff, but, you know, family made the sacrifices, so.
And a shout out to them and appreciate them.
Definitely.
Yeah. Why goalie?
I think I was like 6 years old and I saw the guy wearing the equipment senior practice, and I liked all the gear, which I don't think my parents appreciate too much.
It's expensive.
Definitely.
You had to pick the position with the most equipment. That's awesome, though. That's great. It's so cool to hear how supportive they were and helping and everything. You're not here literally without them, I imagine. Especially in your situation where, you know, while the States, we may not have some of the stuff that some countries out in Europe have with hockey. Mm-hmm. We're a pretty hockey-friendly country. We love our hockey for a lot of reasons and everything. And there's quite a few places to play no matter where you live. There's something to do. So I imagine it made it even tougher. It shows how much the support you've had and how great that grassroots team was and everything. The fact that you're here right now, man, that's pretty cool.
Thank you.
Now, why the River Kings? Why come here with your skills?
Well, I was playing for a team out in Idaho last year and a lot of things unfolded and just I wasn't going to return to that team and I think it was best for me. And I was lucky enough that I had a couple of buddies play for Coach Paul and the River Kings last year from England, and they constantly texted me like, "You got to sign for the River Kings. Where are you going next year?" And I was like, "I don't know." And they were like, "Talk to Coach Paul." And I was hesitant because, you know, I had some stuff happen while I was over here where I didn't really trust that stuff was going on here, trust teams, trust coaches. But I spoke to Coach Paul, and I think there was no turning back from there. Really, told me. He'd give me the opportunity to play, and I had to earn that right because, you know, you got however many goalies on a team, and there's only one spot to be on the ice for a goalie, and he gave me the opportunity to compete for it. So
Man, and we are happy you are. you've been having a nice season, brother. A nice season. And I want to talk more about that with Coach here. But thank you so much again for joining us and coming to town here, too. We really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Coach, what he's talking about there, being on that side of things as a player, where your friends, you've got a good base of people telling you this is a good team, you should give this team a chance, but there is outside factors. There are things that kind of can come up in conversation, whether it is just off the air, on the air, that kind of thing. How do you as a team, not just a coach, but a GM, how do you reassure these players? What do you do to kind of give them a chance to look and get their feet wet before they get here? Or build that trust.
Well, it's very important that you do what you say you're going to do, right? So as you go through the course of the season, hopefully they're experiencing things that we talk about all the way through, right? So it's coming to fruition, mm-hmm. right? So hopefully they experience it, and he's going through it right now and having a tremendous year. And now we got phone calls with the colleges that he wants, and that's the goal, right? And it was very important for him to go through that process and understand, listen, I said I was going to give him a chance, and he's got to earn his stripes just like everybody else. Mm-hmm. Nobody's different. So, and he took that challenge and he ran with it, and now he's reaping the rewards. So mm-hmm. I'm very proud of him for doing that and trusting me in the process. You know, we work hard, you know, and the kid has earned everything he's gotten. So,
yeah.
That's what I want everybody that plays for me to understand. And look what we're doing, right? I mean, we're having a great year. So, so why wouldn't you want to, number one, come back? Mm-hmm. And number two is, why wouldn't you go and make sure that if you know somebody that is good enough to play here, mm-hmm. right? I mean, that's bottom line. It's that we don't just take anybody,
right?
I mean, this is we're in the top, what, 15 of the league,
mm-hmm.
right? So this is, again, back to the standards and the expectations
right.
and all that stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
So bringing in the right guys with the right character and that can help us compete and win more than we lose and just fit that culture and be in the right environment.
I want to talk a little bit about the games coming up, but before that, rewinding a little bit to this past weekend, taking on the Minnesota Squatch. Let's go to Friday's game, then Saturday's. I don't really want to get into Friday's game too much or anything. You know, we'll talk about it. It's never easy with an OT, but you get those points. And as you always say, Coach, that's something they can't take from you. That's something that we certainly come away from in that game. Anytime, is it different approach if you lose a game in the third period, you just outright lose, or if you lose like that in overtime, or is it the same approach for you and your coaching staff the next day?
Well, I think there's different things, right, that we talk about on how we feel about it, right? I mean, that first game, listen, I thought we had a tremendous weekend. I thought we played absolutely tremendous, and how we won, how we tied the game,
mm-hmm.
right? We didn't give up. We kept coming and we kept coming and we kept coming and getting the right guys in the right spots and them, you know, coming through with Jake tying it up late in the game,
yeah,
right? And
yeah.
when you pull the goalie and you got a lot of mess going on in front of that, I'll take it.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
We'll take it, you know, because we know we can play with them. We know we can beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just the mentality going into Saturday's game was that, listen, you know what you're up against. Right, we know we can handle it. Let's just play the right way, and that was really just the talk going into the game. Really.
Yeah, I'm curious about. You teed me up perfectly, Coach, because Saturday's game comes around, and for those that didn't hear, the River Kings won 5-2, and a very nice victory for our team. From the box score, from what we can tell and see, a game you had from the first period on that this felt like this was you guys were in control. This was your game to lose, not so much them to beat you, but you to beat yourselves almost. And that did not happen. Nice game, but was there a conversation that happened before that? Was there a different approach to that game? Because coming out of the last game, going into that, I almost feel like there was a momentum from that tying goal in Friday's game that you carried right in, regardless. Of what happened in OT, it felt like that momentum that was going on in Saturday's game as well.
Well, like I said, we knew what we were up against, right? Yeah. So we just had to keep that energy up, that compete level, the physicality part of it played big. So guys had to come with it, right? Mm-hmm. And that's what we talked about. Jude had a tremendous game. And so we had everything going, and it was just a high energy. We had to play fast, yeah. and we have to play physical. And when we play like that, we beat everybody and anybody. Right? Mm-hmm. We can play with the best. So that was really it. It was, listen, if you want to have a shot at getting, you know, bypassing them and getting to the top spot, then, you know, you got to beat them.
Yeah.
And that's really the way we went into it. And I thought the guys executed tremendously. And it's nice to get a lead, right, and get some breathing room, right, mm-hmm. Instead of always coming from behind, which we have a tendency of doing lately. But, you know, Jude bailed us out a few times. And you know, we got guys that are starting to click now. A guy like Joel Teixmo, he's got 6 goals in 3 games, right? So he's starting to find a net and get comfortable being here and in his role and stuff like that. And, you know, just guys executed really well.
We're in third. We're sitting in third place in the Midwest West Division of the standings. We're only just 2 points back from Minnesota, from the Squatch, I should say. And we've got some nice games coming up. Oh, look who is coming to town, or look where we're going at least with our schedule next. What are you looking at, and what are you telling the guys this week, building up to these games this weekend?
Well, you know, we talked about it at the end of practice today, right? I mean, it's the Minnesota Mullets are a team that have gotten better.
Yeah,
and that's not something that we can take lightly. Then we need to get that mindset back. That the way we play against Squatch and the way we played against Hudson and stuff like that those are the way we win games, right? If we don't come with that, we're going to put ourselves in a bad situation that we can't afford right now. Let's go back to work tomorrow. I mean, that's the mindset going for the rest of the week. Here's tomorrow's battle day, and then we get after it.
We've got a nice stretch here of home games, and I say that not only in excitement and happiness for you guys and everything for our community, but to remind our community, we love our home ice advantage. Let's show everybody and show these other teams what home ice advantage truly is, and make sure that you show up at the Southwick County Rec Center and appreciate them. Watch these games, take these in, and the attendance matters, everybody. It goes a long way. It's not just about making sure that these players that take their talents and their lives and come here with them, coach and his team coming here to our town with these things, but also it matters when we're trying to keep the River Kings around, when we're trying to make sure that the facilities the River Kings have are up to standard. And I bring that up because I want to remind everybody that there is a fundraiser going on with our Wisconsin Rapids River Kings that we want to make sure that they know they are not alone on. We as a radio station, as a company, are behind you guys on this and doing what we can to make sure that this happens and we get the money that we need to make sure that the facilities are where they should be. And we're going to be behind you on this. We'll talk more about this as we go on throughout the season. I also would like to make it so that Coach Paul, even in July, he's coming on the air with me, that I'm going to bug him year-round now, because sports doesn't have an off-season anymore, does it? There's no real off-season.
No.
So I want to keep up to date with you on that, and just as another side note to our audience and everything, that we'll be talking River Kings all year long. Going forward here and everything. We're looking forward to being able to do that too. As we continue to build hockey up and down the river. Support your Kings, get those tickets, and we'll meet you at the Southwick County Rec Center this weekend. RiverKingsHockey.com, RiverKingsHockey.com. Be listening to our shows this week, maybe a chance to win some tickets. Be listening for that. Looking forward to it. Coach, thank you for the time. And Jude, thank you for the time, man.
Thank you.
Why goalie? No, I'm just kidding. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for being here. Coach, always good to see you.
Thanks, buddy.
We'll come back with more fun on Playmakers here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back to WFHR's Playmakers, proudly brought to you by Quality Plus Printing, getting your words out here in Wisconsin Rapids. Seth and James behind the mics, thanks for joining us, everybody. We're here to take your phone call, 715-424-2600. Call up and join the conversation. Nobody made a highlight from the sidelines. Get in the game. Join us on Playmakers.
Yeah.
Looking forward to taking your calls. Want to say a big, big thank you to head coach and GM, Coach Paul Peckman, for joining us there for fourth period. That was awesome. Jude, for being here.
Yeah.
Jude is great. He's a good guy.
He's awesome.
That kid's good.
He actually was one of the guys they drafted to do a little color commentary a couple times with the River Kings. He's even good at that. I mean, he's really good all the way around,
man. I meant to bring that up and compliment him on it. He's done a very good job.
Yeah.
Let's take some phone calls. Good morning. Okay, I knew I was going to do it. Good afternoon. You're on the show.
Well, good morning, James. How are you doing?
Thank you. It's a great start to the day, I'll tell you that. I wish my day started at 3. Wouldn't that be nice? Like your first year out of high school, kind of like that's how it was?
Exactly.
What's on your mind, man?
I got a few fun facts and a couple questions for you guys
today.
Okay, all right. The first fact is a baseball one that I learned recently. In 1917, Babe Ruth started for the Red Sox, and he hit the first batter, walked up, argued with the umpire, and punched him. He was ejected from the game. A fellow named Ernie Shore came in, and they got the runner out at second, and he struck out 26 batters in a row, and they ended up calling it a combined no-hitter.
Holy.
Yes.
Whoa, I'd never heard that.
Well, he didn't strike them all out, but he did get all of them. In fact, because for a long time, that was listed as a perfect game. But just recently, they disallowed that because of how it started. So,
Yeah.
But still, it's a remarkable story. I'm with him on that one.
That is wild. I'd never heard that. That is amazing. Yeah. Whoa. Wow.
Okay. I got a couple of football ones for you now.
All right.
I don't know. I might have mentioned this before, but the crown on a football field from sideline to midfield is 20 inches. So there's a 20-inch increase in height from the sideline to the center. And the Lombardi Trophy is 22 inches high.
Ha. Huh.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wow.
That's pretty cool. That is pretty cool.
Being a Viking fan, I thought I'd got to sneak one in. And in 1985, a guy named Buster Rhymes was the NFL kick returner leader.
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, is that awesome? That is fantastic. How did we just hear that now? How can we be 90s kids and just hearing that with the great Busta Rhymes out there? Oh, that's good.
Oh, man.
They actually made a football card of him, too.
I got to check that out.
I got a couple ideas. One thing I thought would be kind of fun with the Pro Bowl or the Pro Bowl activities they have coming up, one thing I think would be kind of cool is instead of having the quarterback challenge and all the other challenges, they should let position players do competitions in other positions.
I like this.
Have linemen being receivers or kickers.
Yes.
And it's
all flag football anyway.
Yeah, it is, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, I love this. That's a fantastic idea. Take that to Goodell, man.
I'll do you one better. They should play other sports.
Oh, hey, there you go.
Because a lot of them are, athletes in other sports too, baseball players and basketball players. So, yeah, they should do that.
Go ahead. Nope, you first.
No, go ahead. Well, I'll leave you with something I think James you'll laugh at that me and a buddy were talking about yesterday. If Pat Mahomes puts his helmet on, he kind of looks like the Brain from Pinky and the Brain.
He kind of does. I know. I've seen this. You're so right. That's awesome. I appreciate you, man. Thank you so much for that. Take care, brother. I have a friend who is no sports. You don't have to explain it to her. Mm-hmm. She gets sports, but she doesn't really pay attention to it. It doesn't take up her bandwidth or anything like that. And I go to her like you know who Patrick Mahomes is. She's like, yeah, I've heard Patrick Mahomes. He's a big player and all this. Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever heard him talk? She's like, no, I haven't. Oh, and I just start freaking out and almost dropping my phone. I'm so excited that I get to be around somebody for the first time that they hear Patrick Mahomes speak.
Oh, no.
I love that young man, and he is easily one of my favorite players to watch. I think he is one of the greatest quarterbacks I've ever seen already. Mm-hmm. No matter what happens with him the rest of his career, I will not change that statement. And I think that's a pretty easy statement to make.
Yeah,
I'm not like going out on a limb here.
No, you're not.
But he's just a lot of fun to watch. It's so cool to see a player like him in our day. We're alive to watch him play. Mm-hmm. And then you hear him talk. And man, that kid, he's lucky. He's a star with that voice. I love his voice. I love it. I can't get enough of his voice.
It's the equivalent in baseball of Dave Stewart, one of the most intimidating pitchers that ever lived. He had that glare. He's a big dude, and he had that, just that intensity to him. And then he opens his mouth.
Yep.
And he had like the squeaky voice, Dave Stewart. which is always the most incongruous thing in my in sports.
As
man.
A kid, I wanted badly at the time when both these guys were kind of around. And I wouldn't say at their peak, but both around to have Dave Stewart interview Mike Tyson on the radio.
What, on the radio. Radio. Like, what are they talking? What is this?
Who's talking right now? I don't know which one's talking. Take a quick glance at our schedule and our local sports. Over the weekend, Saturday night, Wisconsin Rapids Raiders were victorious or lost to Stevens Point, 75-58 in boys basketball. Some good games last week.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be some good games this week, including tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got sports on your radio dial on both stations. Tonight at 5:30, our pregame will kick off from Milwaukee Bucks at Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Should be a good one right there. Looking forward to that.
Could be a high scoring game.
Could be. It's supposed to be a get right game for your defense. We'll see if that happens. It didn't happen the other day.
No,
didn't happen.
I mean, I know the Bucks won, but yikes!
Mm-hmm. That was closer than I think most of mm-hmm. us wanted it to be. And on our sister station WIRI 105.5, our pregame kicks off at 6:50 for great high school boys basketball. Port Edwards at Northern Lutheran. Mm-hmm. Randy and Seth going to be running that one for you, everybody.
Yeah,
going to be a good game. Be sure to check that out. Looking forward to it. Tonight, also going on in the civic media universe, Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln High School taking on Wausau West in hockey at 6:50.
Mm-hmm.
For our listeners that may be LHS hockey fans, you can tune in to WXKCO 98.9,
mm-hmm.
12:30 a.m. on the CM app. Go ahead and check
right.
that out.
Yeah, you gotta check out Bull Falls Radio, mm-hmm. and you can listen to our buddy Chad Holmes be doing that game. So
have a great time tonight, Chad.
Yeah.
Enjoy the game. I'm not jealous at all that you get to call hockey. Have fun with that. Tomorrow we got more great basketball for you right here at WFHR, 5 o'clock, Wisconsin men's basketball at Minnesota. Big Ten matchup right there. Should be a good one. And on our sister station, WIRI, 7:05, our pregame kicks off for high school boys basketball. Edgar at Assumption. Randy and Seth covering this one for us as well.
Mm-hmm.
Wednesday more Bucks basketball, 6:30. The Bucks hosting Cleveland. Should be good.
Wow. Now that'll be an interesting game.
Yeah.
The way Cleveland's been playing lately.
Darius Garland coming back to full form, it seems like, too. So that should be pretty good for a good matchup between him and Dame and Giannis and that front court with Jared Allen and some of the other pieces that they have there in Cleveland.
Yeah. They're an up-and-coming team now.
Should be good. Mm-hmm. I wanted to mention two other things before we wrap up today. One, that there is a blood drive going on today right now over at the former East Junior High School Music Room. Go check that out if you can. It's going on till 7 o'clock today. All you superheroes out there, we appreciate those of you that can donate. You mm-hmm. are a superhero if you donate. Head on over to the 311 Lincoln Street in Wisconsin Rapids and donate if you can. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much to everybody that does.
And please and thank you.
Mm-hmm. Started our show putting a branch out to the audience to join me and Randy on this Detroit Lions bandwagon.
Mm-hmm.
But we are not, especially here in the Midwest, we're not front runners. We don't just jump on teams just to be bandwagon jumpers
not usually.
So if I'm going to ask you to do this, I got to come with a little bit of facts, right? If somebody says, hey, you're not a real Detroit Lion fan. Well, okay. Did you know that the Detroit Lions have won 4 NFL championships?
Huh? I see. They have. It's just it's been a while, but they've done it.
Boy, we all remember back in 1935 when they won their first one, right? Yeah. How about in 52 and 53? Back-to-backs, baby.
I'm telling you.
Oh,
the Lions in the 50s were pretty good.
57?
They won in 57, too, mm-hmm. and that was their last one, of course. But, yeah, no, they've had a history. They've had some great players there, too. By the way, I got to do a side note. You know what? Forget Taylor Swift, okay? Yeah. And I say that in a nice way. Okay, forget Taylor Swift.
Yeah, yeah.
How about Eminem losing his mind?
Yeah, that was great.
At the Lions. Yeah. To me, that was awesome. That was genuine. That was him just like being so excited about the Lions finally getting to the championship game.
I have always been so thankful that I am the kind of sports fan that I take more enjoyment of my team winning than my rival's team losing.
Yes.
I've never understood that sports fan. And to each their own. You watch sports how you watch sports, you will be entertained how you're entertained. But to me, that makes these moments why I'm still enjoying the NFL season and why they're still crying about their team. Like, there's a lot to enjoy.
Yeah.
We've got the whole offseason to think about our teams and to be happy or sad or whatever you want. Right now, there's actual football being played. The season is still going on. I'm going to enjoy the Detroit Lions and that story as far as it takes me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll enjoy, if that ends, I'll enjoy another storyline. Mm-hmm. Like, I'll find something else to enjoy. You know, maybe it doesn't pull me like the my teams do, but it's fun.
But I do want to remind people, just because, you know, and the game against the Packers and the Giants, or the Giants, the 49ers played on Saturday is a good reminder. They still got to play the games. Now, on paper, it looks like San Francisco should walk all over Detroit.
Yeah.
But someone was talking about the matchup coming up, put it in a really good way in terms of their head coaches. Kyle Shanahan plays not to lose. Dan Campbell plays to win.
Yeah.
And that may come into play on this weekend, guys. I think Detroit's got a chance. It may not be a big one, but I think they have a chance.
If Green Bay just did what they did, and you're coming into this week with an injured Debo Samuel, and a team that does not have a lot of depth. I didn't hear a lot of people talk about this. On defense, they certainly do.
Yes.
But on the offense, where you got to score points, they don't have that many. And
Brock Purdy's not going to be the guy to do it. He's not.
I'm not going to take. I'm not going to be the another talking head. That just takes shots at him.
No.
But I will say nobody is afraid of him.
Mm-mm.
Nobody. They're afraid of the pieces San Francisco has.
Oh yes.
But they're not afraid of him. So if the game is on his shoulders, you're right, man. All bets are off.
Yep.
And I am going to. For me, I'm making. I don't do this. I don't like predictions, and I feel like it's low hanging fruit.
Yeah.
But we're in the last minute of the show. I've got Detroit and Baltimore in the Super Bowl. I would like to see Detroit and Kansas City. I think that'd be a lot of fun, and I love the idea of a Midwest Super Bowl.
Oh, that'd be cool, yeah.
So that's what I'm rooting for, but I think it's going to be Detroit and Baltimore.
I think you're right. I just got a feeling and my feelings tend to be wrong, but I just think Detroit has a chance. I think they're going to pull it out, and I think it is going to be them in Baltimore. I agree.
Thanks, everybody that joined us today. A big shout out to all of you that joined us, Coach and GM Coach Peckman and Jude, for joining us. All of our callers appreciate it. Next Monday, Tyler from the Rafters will be with us. Looking forward to that. We'll have more fourth period for you and plenty more right here. And Seth, thank you for joining us today.
Not a problem. It was fun.
Appreciate you. Have a good one. See you back here next Monday, everybody, on Playmakers here at
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.